Hi, my name is Amberly, and I have the privilege of serving as one of our executive pastors here at Transformation Church. We just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are watching from. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has a word for you, so let's jump into this amazing message.
We are in week two of a series that we are calling Worship on the Word. Your part. Wow. Some of y'all listened from last week. Because I really believe by the end of this series, there's going to be a new awe for God. That's what I'm praying for everybody. Is that this is not just like, oh yeah, we learned about worship. I pray like you get so overwhelmed and overflowing with how good God's been to you that there are moments you can't contain yourself. There are moments, and I know some of y'all are so like reserved and buttoned up and polished right now. You're like, the thought of that makes me break out in hives. What I'm saying is there's something that can get you to your core to actually express in a way that you normally wouldn't. Some of y'all, it's your kids. Anybody mess with your kids, you turn into somebody different. Some of y'all, it's money. You say 5,000, 10,000, 100,000, a million, you'll start dancing, shaking, doing a Harlem shake. You'll do try backflip. Like, for others of you, it's injustice. When you see somebody being done wrong, something rises up on the inside of you and you begin to express. Come on, let's think about it. I don't think there's anything wrong with any of those things allowing you to express. I do think that it is problematic if those things will make you express more than you expressing your love to God. So I want us to worship God with wisdom. And y'all already know, this past week, we released a song called I Will. And can we give it up for the amazing worship team, the dancers, everybody that... If you're watching this on rebroadcast, hopefully in a few weeks we'll release what just happened, but it was nuts. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been rocking it out in your cars and in the gym and working out to it and cleaning your house on Saturday to it. It's supposed to give you energy and faith. And there's a very declarative statement that we keep saying over and over. Somebody shout at me, I will. And I really want that to get down in your spirit. This is the first of these next few singles we're going to release in this season, because there has to be a desire to do what God wants you to do. God can have a will and you can have another one. Okay, let's be hot, humble, open, and transparent. How many of you know God wanted you to do something, but you didn't want to do it, so you did something else? All right, if your hand not up, liar. What I'm saying is, our heart posture along with our actions have to say, yell it at me, I will. Okay, so as you're continuing to play that and letting your faith grow in that, I decided I was going to preach a message that would take it deeper. Every time we play this song from now on, I don't want you to worship because of the beat. I can't explain it. I ain't saying nothing. Like, that's a lot of times what we consider worship. I like the beat. It makes me feel something. I want you to worship with understanding on the words that are being spoken and the language that we are expressing our love to God. And one of the greatest worship statements you can ever make is, God, I will. The truth of the matter, the reason that didn't resonate, because a lot of y'all say, I won't. The reason why everybody wasn't like, yes, is because a lot of times you're still choosing about obeying because it doesn't agree with your opinion. And many times God does not consult your opinion for obedience. He's been telling you to do stuff for a long time and you said, that's not my personality. Uh-oh. Nobody from my family has done that. Ask Abraham how many people from his family had done what he had done before he had done it. God is trying to break generational habits through you. He's trying to start a new book, not just a new chapter. He said, that's done for the Williams family. That's done for the Smith family. That's done for the Todd family. I want to start a brand new volume, but you keep saying I won't. And God is looking for a group of people who does not care about what the crowd is doing. That they will be faithful to stand in the midst of adversity like those three Hebrew boys and say what? I will. Okay, this ain't even a part of my notes. Just shout at me one more time with faith. Somebody say, I will.
I will.
Okay. 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 I'm getting hyped because I'm starting to see the promises God fulfilled in this music that we are releasing. Many of you may know, don't know, but when I became the lead pastor of this church, I'd done music my whole life. God told me to lay music down so I could get anchored in his word. All I had ever done was produce music and write for people and do stuff for all kinds of people that you would know if I start naming out stuff. And the Holy Spirit told me when I came into this season, he said, lay down the music so I can anchor you in the word. And I was devastated because I love the music. He said, but the music is powerless without my word in it. The reason I'm preaching these songs is because I want the word to anchor you more than the melody. I want the words that you're singing to actually be written on your heart more than the creativity of the pen. I want when you begin to worship God, if there is nothing around, your heart can express your love to God in a way that is unique because it's you being able to worship on his word. And that's why even this Friday, y'all get ready, because this Friday we're releasing another song. Okay? This one is the one y'all been waiting on and begging for a whole bunch. Last year, God took us from the word of the year to actually a phrase of the year. And what was it? Here is holy. So this Friday, y'all get here is holy. Everybody, we're getting here is holy, okay? Here is holy is coming out this Friday. Pastor Mike, why are you taking this much time in the sermon time to talk about these songs? I'm giving you a soundtrack to get into his presence. And I'm gonna just let you know, when we do Here is Holy here, it's like 7 minutes. What we're about to release is 23 minutes and 34 seconds. Okay? You will be able to put this on and go into your whole morning devotion. I want you to get in it. I want you to open your word. I want you to sing the words. I want you to journal what God's telling you. I want every day from Friday on, by the time we get in here Sunday, I should be able to say boo, and this place should erupt because of the level of worship, intimacy, being in his presence that we will have. And I'm trying to give us soundtracks for the level of life that we're supposed to live in all the time. And even as somebody said, I will, like, I will bless the Lord. I like that one. And here is holy. Like, I remember when Moses, like, take your shoes off. Here is holy. But the eagle song, I don't understand the eagle. Y'all released the eagle, and I just felt like the eagle, it was lightning, and it was worldly, and there was boom, boom, cat on the eagle. We released a single earlier this year called Eagle. I just wanted to help everybody know we're trying to give people different language to worship God with. For everybody who has a discrepancy on the song Eagle, Isaiah 40, 31, because we worship on the word. But they who wait up on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Okay, so you got it. We're not singing songs to just be singing songs. We are worshiping on the word. So today, we're going to go even a step further in what is happening, because I want you to understand how to worship in wisdom. Write this point down. Our worship is the only gift we can give to God. I'm going to say it every week. I'm going to say, because some of y'all are withholding the only thing that God gets out of this whole thing. I don't feel like, I don't want nobody to look at me crazy. I don't need nobody to judge me. I don't need. Worship is the only gift that you can give to God. And I'm so proud of all of you who are actually taking steps. Maybe you grew up in a church that ain't had no music. You may have grown up in a church where it's like, don't express, just look deep. Look deep and smart, and you actually look constipated. But actually, at the end of the day, you grew up in that. And I see people making steps towards expressing their love to God, even if other people around. And that's the thing that I want to let you know. My love for Natalie does not consider you. Okay. When I get ready to express my love to my wife, I don't care who's around. I don't care what you think. We was on the beach for her birthday, and I pulled out gifts. I set up the phone. There was other people's table around. They just looking like, oh, my God, John, why do you hate me? Why won't you do that for me? Like, it was like a whole vibe. I didn't care who was there because my love for the one who has sacrificed for me is not contingent on who's around. Oh, my God. Some of y'all are so scared to express your love to God because of who's around and who ain't done nothing for you. Did they save you? Did they heal you? Did they deliver you? Did they rescue you? You prayed a prayer like this, Lord, if you would ever get me out of this situation, I promise you I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And he did it, and you didn't, but he still loved you. Okay. You have to stop caring who's around when God is worthy or worth. He's worth your praise. He's worth your worship. Okay. Somebody just say, I will. Everybody say, I will worship. I want you to write that down as the first point today. Because some of you are saying this in faith. Because you have been devastated. You're dealing with loss. You're frustrated. But I need us to allow our faith to speak first and have our actions or our feelings follow it. There are so many times that God will allow you to speak in faith first. The Bible says it like this: life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they who love it, they're going to eat the fruit of it. So whichever one you speak, you're going to eat it. Uh-oh. Eat what you speak. Speak fear, eat fear. Speak faith, eat faith. It's going to be conducive for what? So everybody say, I will worship. One more time, I will worship. By the end of this series, I believe that will not be a faith statement for you. It will be a description of who you are, not just in church. And this is the thing about worship. If you hate worshiping now, you're going to hate heaven. Like, I really need everybody to get a glimpse. The whole thing we're going to do in heaven is be singing holy, holy, holy and worshiping around the throne of God. If you hate it now, why are you trying to go to heaven? You might as well get practice right here worshiping our King. And one of the culture codes of our church, some of y'all are new around here or just started watching, but we've built our church on 12 culture codes. And one of them is worship. And I thought this would be a good time for you to know what our church pillars are, what we build everything on. This thing says worship. And I want you to take this down in your notes. Worship. Okay. We use our lives to express God's worth. I want to bring very close attention to what I said. We use our what? Lives. Not our songs. Not our hands only. We use our lives to express God's worth. And so I need you to write down this anchor definition. I'm teaching so then when we get back in our next worship session or when you go to your job tomorrow where they're trying to wear you out, you'll be able to worship God in your lives. So our anchor definition of worship. Worship is our love expressed to God as a response to his grace towards us. It is what we do to express to God as a response to the gift of grace that he has already given to us. How many know that salvation is a gift? What God has given to us is, what's up, dog? Hello? You got me something.
Okay.
I don't know what it is for real at all. Okay. Well, I don't usually get gifts on stage, so I'm going to open it up. Ooh, I like who's on the cover. This is for real, Charlie? This was a fake example, bro. Hold on, Charles. I got you something, too. What are you doing? Ooh, that's heavy. Hold on. I got you another one. This is what worship should look like. The gift he gave me, I responded to it with the gift I could give him. And he responded with the gift that only he could give me. And I responded with the gift that I only could give him. I dare somebody to take 10 seconds and give God the only gift. The only gift. My worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, God. Can't believe we get breath every day and you don't say thank you. I can't believe that we like, oh yeah, grace, mercy, that new house. I know I pray for it, but it's not the real one I want. The relationship. They better play my song. I'm too cool for all that. That's cool. I like that. I like that. Lift your hands. I don't want everybody to see, but yet your team wins. But God wins the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Trash. All I'm saying is, your actions express what's in your heart. And people, watch this. It's not just the only gift you can give to God. It was what you were created to do. I need everybody to understand, you are not created to set up a pension plan and make sure that your kids live in a great house. I'm just trying to make it out the mud. You were formed from dirt. like I want you to understand that he blew into dirt. And I'll have to do this later, but he made you the replacement for Satan. Only one archangel got kicked out and was never replaced. And it was the one who was over worship. I'm going to have to do that next week. All I'm saying is God made you the replacement. So every time you worship, you remind the enemy of the spot he can never get back to. You remind him that he lost his place in heaven. The reason he's been coming after you so hard and trying to steal your worship is because every time you lift your hands, despite how bad you feel, and every time you say hallelujah, even when they hating on you, and every time you say God, you're faithful, even when you don't have finances, you're punching the enemy in the face. But that's just not how I was raised. Guys, this is what we were created to do. Somebody say, I will Worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. When we talk about the gift of God and how we respond by expressing our love, it says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. So the greatest gift that God gave you was giving Christ so that you could be redeemed and saved. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to himself, not Christians. He didn't do this for church people. He didn't do this for people who understood theology. He said he was in Christ reconciling the world. That means everybody you don't like, he died for. Everybody you're mad at, he loves. Everybody you threw away, he went after. Okay. No longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. If we're going to speak anything, don't speak division, speak reconciliation. So we are, here we go, kingdom language, Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ. Ooh, that's scary. We speak for Christ? We the only ones that... What we type is speaking for Christ. What we blog is, that's what. They will know that you're mine by your comments or your love. We're making the appeal to the whole world through our gossip. So we are Christ's ambassadors, dang it. God is making his appeal through us, choose another Lord. We speak for Christ, when we plead, come back to God. Most of us can't say come back to God because we're not really with him. Most people, their lips actually say come back to God. Your actions, though, are not true worship to God. And this is why I'm asking us to actually think about the gift that we have received in grace, because it's easier to give grace when you actually have received it. And many of us have not received God's grace, so we're trying to make other people earn what God's already given. So the reason you don't forgive is because you don't honestly feel forgiven. The reason you won't look past somebody's fault and actually see the trauma or the need or the hurt they had is because you feel like somehow you're still trying to tap dance for God's approval, and you're trying to go to enough services and read enough scriptures and give enough money. And he said, if you don't do none of that, I still love you. And because you have not received that, it is very hard to give away the gift that you have never been given. Excuse me, you have never received that you were given. And that's why Romans 5:8 says stuff like this. But God demonstrates his own love, because it is the key ingredient of worship, because worship is love expressed. So this is how God demonstrated his love for us. While we were still sinners, while we had nothing to give him, while there was no gift in us, he still died for us. That's why I want you to write down this point. Our worship is the reasonable response to the gift of grace. It's reasonable. Like if somebody bought you a car today, would it be reasonable to say thank you? No. Tags, title, everything paid for. Taxes, title, tag, paid for. Brand new car. What kind of car y'all want? 2023 what? She said Range Rover on them things. Okay, that's fine. See, y'all ain't even got faith to say what type of car you want. What you want? A Audi Q8, black on black, with the black rims, with the Febreze air freshener. I heard you, okay. I got you. But if somebody gave you that today, and you've never met them before, would it be a reasonable response to say thank you? Would it be a reasonable response to call them tomorrow and say thank you. Every time it was the first of the month when you're supposed to pay a car payment, would it be reasonable to text them one more time and just say, when you were able to pay off your old car and give it away because they gave you a free car, would it be reasonable to tell them, if it's reasonable to tell somebody who gave you $80,000, thank you, what makes you think that we are all not supposed to express our love to God for the grace that he has given all of us? Okay, all right, so that's why worship is not a ritual. It's a, everybody say, response. Worship is not a regimen. It's a response. Worship is not about religion. It is a response. How I respond to God has nothing to do with this church building. Forget, shut it down. I bet you you'll find me worshiping God. And too many people's worship experiences are tied to a building or an organization. Too many people cannot worship without this. And most pastors like that because then you need this to do that. Let me pop your bubble. Transformation Church can shut down tomorrow, and there will still be a requirement of your worship in this earth. God says, if you choose not to say, I will, I'll make the rocks start singing. I'll make the trees start praising me. It is our reasonable response. This is not outlandish. This is not for the evangelicals. Those wild people. This is for those who understand the grace of God. Okay? Worship is not the right song. It's a response. Worship is not a routine. It's a response. Worship is not Christian rhetoric. It is a response. Worship is not unreasonable. It actually is the only reasonable response. Somebody shout at me, I will. Okay, so let me be honest. It is easy to say, I will, when your situation is good. I don't want to get up here and act like this is like just simple. Cause it ain't. I heard somebody. The truth of the matter. Everybody say, I will. But sometimes I don't feel like it. Have I had anybody not feel like doing what you know the word says to do? Turn the other cheek. I want to cuss them out. And then I'll turn my cheek as I walk away. Like, see, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay? Like, but let me be honest. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit wants a I will, what comes out of us is a what? I won't. I won't. It's too hard. I won't. Why is the situation not changed? Until you change the situation, I won't. Until you heal them, I won't. And it's almost like we're at a standoff with God. Why my relationship not working? Until it works, I won't. I'll still come. I'll still be around. But I won't worship. Vulnerable enough to tell you how I actually feel? He knows it anyway, but I won't give you the satisfaction of knowing that I know you know. Come on, y'all know how we be doing. God, I'm withholding my praise. Like, he's like, all right, good job. Cause stop the breath right now. Don't do it, Gabriel. Don't stop the breath. Just let it keep going. She rebellious. They haven't apologized, so I won't. I'm still offended, so I won't. We may not say it out loud, but we're displaying it. Or expressing it, I messed up, so I won't. One of the enemy's greatest tactics is to make you think that sin disqualifies you from worshiping. Church people try to disqualify you from worshiping. But sin, God would want you to come with your broken pieces, with your messed up theology. Where do we take it? He says, come to me. All who are weary and have a heavy burden. And I will give you. I will give you. When you accept your I will, it activates his I will. Ooh-ooh. He said, you come to me. If you say, I will, he said, now I will give you rest. But most of us is still saying, I won't. Even as I'm talking right now, there are people watching and listening to this, that you're grinding your teeth because your worship is predicated on God doing something for you in the future. And he's already done so much for you in the past. I don't understand what God's doing. And so until I do, I won't. But what if? What if today you could trade by faith your statement from I won't to I will? Because the truth of the matter is, I won't is still a faith statement. When you say I won't, it's faith in the wrong direction. You think you doing it your way is somehow going to be better than you actually surrendering to God and saying, I will. It takes faith either way. You just have your faith in fear that God's not a man of his word, that he won't do all the things that he promised. And so you're saying, I won't as a protection mechanism, or I won't because I need you to guarantee that my situation going to be what I want it to be. And God says, I'm not like man. And my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. So you can keep saying I won't, but I cannot do what I want to do in your life until there's a surrender of an I will. So just think about changing the statement. Write this down. You can have a different faith statement in the same situation. In the exact same situation, you can say, I will. I haven't got the job. Change I want to, I will. My marriage is not where I want it to, but whatever God says, I will. They haven't apologized, so I'm gonna, dang, apologize. I will. Situation didn't change, but my statement of faith did. And what I did is I just moved heaven and earth on my behalf because I agreed with God. Your greatest advancements in this Christian walk is when you agree with God and what he has said in his word. That's why I'm trying to teach us how to express our love based on the word of God. Let me help you right now, because I want everybody to see this in a new light. You know when people say fake it until you make it? I hate that. Because it honestly gets you practice in being phony. But you can, watch this, faith it until you make it. There are so many times where God tells you to do something in faith until he reveals why he asked you to do that. Let's go back to Abraham. Abraham, get up and go to the land I will show you. No. I won't until you show me the land I'm going to. He said, that's not what I said. Get up, pack up, get your family, don't take them, and go to the place I will. Do you know how much faith it takes to leave all your comfort? And when people are having a going away party and they like, God bless you, Abraham, Sarai, you've been great. Where are you going? What are you doing? I don't know. Well, why are you going? Because I gave God my I will. I will obey. I will do what you say to do. Do I have to understand it? It would be nice. Come on, let's be honest. It would be nice. But it is not in God's character. Because the truth of the matter is, if he actually let you really know what you would have to go through to get to the promise, you would have a hard I won't. Many of the things that God does in your life, he has to back you into them. Oh, y'all want to be faking here. But many of the things he calls you to, he's like, look over here, look over here, look over here, till you bump into, oh my. I didn't even see how God. What? But you always quote Romans 8, all things work together for the good of those who are called and that love him. But do you really believe it? Because if you really believe all things work together, when he tells you to do something that you're not sure if it's the thing to do, but you know it's him, you will say, I will, instead of I won't. I just want to ask you to evaluate how many things have God asked you to do over the last 5 years that your stagnation in life is based on your not willingness to obey God. Why didn't you write the book? Why didn't you present the plan? Why didn't you carve out the time to exercise? I'm just believing God for a miracle. Oh, miracle nights, oh, June 4th, I'm going to be there. I'm going to ask God to take 16 pounds away from me in one day. No, he won't do it. She said, won't he do it? I said, no, he won't. And that's the dumb stuff we believe in for. Like, but he told you 6 years ago, no more Krispy Kremes. And in your spirit, you said, but my birthday. What you actually said is, I won't. You can say whatever you want to. You can dress it up however you want to. But slow obedience is still this. You still think you have time tomorrow to do what God asked you to do yesterday. And what you are doing is being foolish and being careless with the grace of God. Okay. Somebody shout at me, I will. You know, we're still talking about worship. Because some of y'all feel offended at this current moment. You're like, hold on, let's fight then. What I'm saying to you is, don't fake it until you make it. Faith it until you make it. And respond to the gift of grace that God has given you. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, what he's already done for you, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Watch this. This is your true and proper worship. Hold on. The components of true worship is in response to his mercy, the gift he gave first. I should then come to him presenting my whole body as a sacrifice. You can have all of this. What I watch on TV? Uh-oh. There are movies I don't see, not because I'm not an adult, not because I can't get the channels or go to the movies. When I gave God my life as a living sacrifice, holy, which means set apart, like because of the call on my life, many can, but I cannot. There are y'all, oh, that's for the pastor. No, that's for his children. What will I have to talk about at the hair salon or the barber shop? Jesus? Love, fun, life? You do not have to be in the know to know you are doing what God's called you to do. And so many of us in this culture feel like we got to know everything. You know Michael Jordan's son dating Scottie Pippen's wife? Who cares? Somebody's like, really? What I'm saying is that adds nothing to the purpose that God has called you to. And many times the greatest distraction to our destiny are things that we did not need to know. All right, I'm done. I done jumped in the deep end. They like, all right, talk to us about lifting our hands and singing a song. But a lot of times you are distracted when you're supposed to be focused on God, focused on helping people, focused on serving, living your life as a sacrifice. But you're distracted by useless information that will not add anything to your life just so you can say, did you see this video? And you're like, ha, 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 yeah. And we're all guilty of it, even the one talking to you. But God's saying, you know how you feel tired and you're like, oh, I can't. It's been a hard day. Some of it was not supposed to be a part of our day. In view of God's mercy, let's offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The part of this scripture that I get stuck on is in view of God's mercy. In view of the level of the gift he gave us, I gotta respond to that. So my question to you is, what's in the view? What's in your view? I just talked about a lot of distractions, but one thing that I have found when it comes to worship or expressing my love to God as a response to his grace towards us is sometimes I don't need to look in my view. I need to look in the rear view. Something that fuels my worship is remembering. And there are many times we come to worship and we're thinking about what God's going to do and he's going to make a way and what he's going to do for my family. And God said, just look what I did for your family. What I did for your mind. Somebody's getting a reminder right now. What I did for your life. What I did. Write this down. It's hard to respond in worship when you don't remember. So many believers have amnesia. We stop thinking about all of the times where we prayed for God to deliver us from a situation. And now we're in a completely different situation, but because it doesn't look like what our cousin is doing, we have now forgotten about the goodness of God that brought us out of that situation. We ask for God to save our lives, save our marriages, save our minds, get me through college. And you sitting here with more degrees than a thermometer, but mad because you didn't get the position that you applied for. Some of you need to stop looking in the front view and you need to look in the rear view. Oh, I feel this thing. Somebody shout at me, I will remember. Write that down. Because the only thing that's going to fuel your worship at sometimes when you don't feel like it is remembering God's goodness. Oh, God. See, I forgot to tell you the title of my message, because at the end of the day, it's so in me and I've had to do it so much in this last season that I just want to give you all the keys. But what I'm trying to tell you is you have to have the spirit of I will, even when you don't want to. Until you get an I will when you don't want to, you will never be able to actually access the most powerful worship. Think of Paul and Silas in jail. In chains. And the Bible says, and at midnight, they begin, at the darkest hour, they begin to sing praises to God. How do you sing praises in the darkest hour? It has become a rhythm of worship. You don't sing and praise and worship in a dark hour for the first time. And most of us wait till we get to the dark hour to begin to worship God. God said, that's why I wanted you practicing all the time. That's why I wanted you to wake up every morning and bless the Lord. That's why I wanted to teach you language. I needed you to read the word so you could get it on the inside of you, because in your darkest hour, when you get pressed, what's in you actually comes out. And some of us, when we get pressed, we just start cussing at everybody. When we get pressed, we start blaming everybody. Oh, I just said a big one right there. If my mama and them would have treated me right then, I wouldn't have been. You 62. No, let's be honest. You got great grandkids now. And you still blaming your mama for your anger issue? You must have never come to the king in worship and traded your sorrow for his joy. Some of y'all need therapy. Matter of fact, all of y'all need, where the camera? All of y'all need therapy. But in addition to going to somebody that has some letters in front of their name, you need to find yourself every day at Dr. Yeshua's office. where you begin to get on your knees, lay on a couch, and begin to tell him all the things that are going on in your life. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. There is something that happens to you as you worship God. And it's not supposed to be only in the dark moments. We're supposed to worship in the valley as well as on the mountaintop. And that's why somebody say, I will. Remember. Okay. Psalms 34, verse 1 and 2. This is where we got to end because y'all about to make me jump in here. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my heart. It's got to be in your mouth. It's not love if it's not expressed. So if you say stuff like, God knows my heart, yes, he does, but he wants to hear it out of your mouth. I'm just not that expressive. If you want to eat, you got to say something. Like, I want you to hear. He says, his praises shall continually be in my soul shall make a boast in the Lord, not in my situation. I'm not going to magnify. I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to lift up my situation. I'm going to lift up the God of the situation. I will boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. You better check who your partners are in this next season. You better make sure you have praise partners. The reason I love Pastor Charles is because when I get ready to turn up, he getting ready to turn up with me. I dare you. You don't need 60 of them, but you need about 4 good riders that when God begins to do something in your life, they can begin to shout and praise God like it happened. Y'all fake. But I think about the many moments where my worship needed a jump start. Sometimes I've forgotten. Man, I walk through this building sometimes and be like, dang, the air conditioning, it costs thousands. People leaving on the lights. Bathroom dirty. I just, what is wrong? And the Holy Spirit, do you remember? No. Michael Jackson, do you remember the time? Do you remember when you had one restroom in the back of the church? Do you remember when everybody, thousands of people were coming into 5 services in a hallway that we called the lobby? Are you complaining about what you once prayed for? I need you to either choose worry or worship. I don't want to hear both of them coming out of the same mouth. This lukewarm life of worship, where in one breath we worry in God, I don't know how you are. And then the next breath, we're like, but God, I guess you can't do anything. He said, choose one. Would you just choose to live a life of gratitude, a life of worship? It may not be going good, but I'm still in it, so it's going in good. Would you choose worship? Somebody say, I will. Worship. I will remember. Okay, let me give you one more. I will express. It's funny to me how people say they're not that expressive. But me and Nat had the privilege to go to game 4 of the last series between the Lakers and you pray for them. Pray. Whew, they need a miracle. Between the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. And it was, they out. shout out, Steph. But we went to the game, and it was so crazy. There were business people. There were like thugs. There was holy people and hoochie mamas. Like everybody, they was out to play at the game. And I'm sitting there, celebrities, people who are very like buttoned up, polished. And I could not help but, like, the game's going on, but I just was stopping, turn around and look at all the people who in different situations would say, I don't want to do that. But in the right environment, they were, I mean, I saw a guy who had to be about 450 pounds take his shirt off. And he had Lakers. I don't know if it was paint. I don't know if it was Crayola. I don't know what it was. From one chesticle to the other. It was bound. It was Laker. It was spectacular to watch. I was like, he had to plan to do that days in advance and get somebody, probably one of his poor children, Junior right here, L, like, what? And proudly in the first quarter, but he loved a team with players who don't know him so much that he prepared to express his love. We should not be coming into church to pump and prime you. Nobody should, as soon as song one starts, there should be so much I will on the inside of you throughout the whole week. If the thing shuts down, something in you should begin to praise God. Matter of fact, shut the lights off. I'm giving you 30 seconds to worship God in this building. Express to him. I will when I don't want to. I will when I don't have lights. I will when I don't have sound. I will. You don't need no music. There it is. Worship in the dark. God hears you. He sees you. He knows you. He calls you. He's a good, good father. He is worth my worship. I will express to my God how much I love him. Uh-oh, something is starting up in this place. At home, worship. In the car, worship. Everybody turn your cell phone lights on. Uh-oh. Get your phones. Every time somebody starts worshiping, it becomes a light in the earth. Oh, every time somebody starts worshiping, it becomes a light in the earth. Like a city set up on a hill. Oh, that cannot be hidden. This is what it's going to look like. When it gets dark at my job, I will be the light. Oh, when it gets dark in my family, I will be the difference maker. I feel this thing. Somebody shout at me, I will. I will worship. I will express. Woo! I will remember. And I will when I don't want to. I will when I don't want to. Standing all over this building, y'all. Ooh, I feel the presence of God. When you withhold your worship, it gets a little darker for all of us. When you withhold your worship, I might not be able to see the way. But when everybody puts their light on, for other people who may not have the light yet, they can see. Because my worship becomes a light to point them to the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. So I will worship. I will remember. I will express. Pastor Mike, why do I got to express? I just don't want to. I'm an introvert. It's because it's not worship if it's not love. And it's not worship if it's not expressed. Think about me being with Natalie and telling her I love her, expressing my love to her on the day we get married. And I say, girl, you know I love you. And I'll let you know if anything changes. We're not going to have a thriving relationship if the only time I tell them and express that I love them is in a moment where everybody's around. What kind of real relationship is that? At church is like the wedding. It's like when we do it here, it's like the dress and but the real I love yous that mean the most to me and Natalie is when my breath stinks and her hair looks like a squirrel got in it and was like, like, don't look like she got a wig is on the nightstand, the makeup is off. I got the little drool mark. Y'all know how sometimes the sleep be so good. She's like, you ain't slept then. But when I know she's going through something, I lean over and say, babe, I love you with my whole heart. I love you too. Nobody else sees those moments. It's not for Instagram. It's not for people. It's for me to express my love to the one who has expressed their love to me. All I'm saying to you is, you got to have love for God and you have to express it to God. That is true worship. Pastor Mike, what do you mean express? Right? Y'all gonna have to go back and watch this because I got everybody standing. I'm gonna just say it and then I think I'm gonna have to do part two next week because I actually have a whole bunch more to preach to y'all because when you get this, it changes everything. People are like, Pastor Mike, why are you so radical? Because I don't care no more and I worship in wisdom. When I get before God, he gonna be like, that's one of my riders. Like, well, people thought he was. I'm gonna get a well done, good and faithful. So that's what we should all, it don't have to look the same. But it actually has to be love and it actually has to be expressed. Ugh. When you say express it, it means to convey or communicate. So you got to say something in words, gestures, or conduct. That means you cannot be a statue talking about, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? You can't. You got to express it some way. And this is where I'm going to end tonight. And we're going to pick it back up next week. Isaiah 29, 13. The Lord says, who said it? I said, who said it?
The Lord.
These people come near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips. They sing the songs. They Spotify is full of worship songs. But their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Maybe the reason why I'm going so in depth with this worship series because maybe everything you know has been a mimic of somebody you've seen. And God wants the authentic DNA of your worship. See, me and Natalie do things that nobody else would think is cute, but they're cute to us. Because we have intimacy. God is saying there's some stuff I want that Chandler Moore ain't gonna sing. And Tasha Cobbs ain't gonna sing it. And Taya not gonna. I want you to little, I like that from you. No, y'all missed it. Because it don't have to be that anybody else likes it. My father likes it. When I worship, I do this little, he like that. You may not like, but he like that. Some of y'all be, like, everybody ain't gotta like, but most of you haven't been in his presence long enough to figure out what's the thing you and him have. And what God is saying to me is, don't just worship based on the human rules you've been taught. I want you to find the authentic. That's why some people may sit in silence. And you say, Pastor Mike said praise. He said, when you sit in silence, you are praising me. Because your heart is torn towards me. You've silenced all the other noise. And this is an act of worship. I'm not just, but you're expressing it. There's an intention behind it. And today, I'm believing God's changing all of the I wants into what? I will. Hands lifted all over this building. Oh, I feel the presence of God. God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us right here. Father, today we are repenting or turning from all the places where you wanted something from us and we said, I won't. Today we're giving up that right. We're presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice today. Holy, set apart, and acceptable. This is our true or reasonable, proper act of worship. We are changing our faith statement, even though the circumstance has not changed yet. We are changing our faith statement into I will. If you ask us to serve, we say, I will. If you ask us to forgive, we will say, if you ask us, Father God, to love the person who hurt us, we say, Father, if you ask us to express our worship, no matter who's around, we declare today in front of people, somebody say, I will. Father, and because you've already given us the great gift of salvation, today, Father, there's anybody in this room or under the sound of my voice that have not accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, I thank you for this moment where they can say, I will to you. If you're in this room, you've been far from God, or you were like, I don't want all of that God stuff or Jesus stuff. And you've been living your life on your own, but it has not amounted to you being fulfilled. Today, God is giving you an opportunity to stop running from him and run to him. I talked about some of our past situations and remembering how even when I wasn't choosing God, he was still protecting me, still coming after me, still shielding me from all the crap that was around me. And today God's saying, I have revealed myself to you, and the Holy Spirit has been drawing you to salvation. And today you don't need to say, I won't. You need to declare, everybody help him, I will. If that's you, and you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior today, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. Whether you're in the room, you're at home, you're in the gym, you're watching on rebroadcast, today is the day of salvation. And I'm excited, and there are people praying for you right now because I know the tension that you feel in your life trying to figure out, well, what will happen if I really give my life to God? He will transform you. He will take everything that you thought was worth a lot in your life, and he will show you that there's something worth way more. That's living a life for him. I'm not a perfect man, but man, God has taken me from being raggedy, lost, broken, addicted to pornography, religious, judgmental, all of the different things. And he took me as I was, with all the bad habits, with all the secrets, with all the pain. And he said, I can turn your damage into destiny if you'll give it to me. And today, I just believe that's the mission of our church, to bring our damage to God and allow him to flip it into something that he gets the glory for. And if that's you and you want to make God your personal Lord and Savior, count of three, just lift your hands. I know there are people already lifting their hands. They're going up. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you. But more than that, your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I see you, my sister. I see you, my brother. Three, just shoot your hand up all over the world. Come on, I see you. I see you. Oh, come on, Transformation Church. Let's give God praise. I see you. I see you. But more than me seeing you, God sees you. And he's been seeing you. At Transformation Church, nobody prays alone. So we're a big family. We're going to pray this prayer together. Lift your hands, everybody, just in surrender and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus. Even when he didn't want to, he said, I will. He died for me. And today, I receive the free gift of salvation. I believe you lived, you died, and rose again for me to live a transformed life. Change me. Renew me. I'll live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we turn up from the front to the back? Can we turn up and thank God for all the people who said, I will? If you just made that decision, I want you to text SAVED to 828282. We want to give you some information to help you, y'all. We no longer will say, I won't. What is our confession of faith?
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. Our vision is to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. And if you would like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282 or visit us on our website. Also, be sure to like, subscribe, and check out our other sermons as well. Our service begins every Sunday at 10:45 a.m. Central Standard Time. Now go out and live a transformed life.